This is a Fox News alert. A former Supreme Court justice has died. I'm Dave Anthony. Sandra Day O'Connor was 93. She'd suffered complications related to advanced dementia and a respiratory illness. Chief Justice Roberts, in a statement, called her a daughter of the American Southwest and that Sandra Day O'Connor blazed an historic trail as our nation's first female justice. She was appointed to the court by President Reagan in 1981. She retired in 2006. George Santos could soon be an ex-congressman.
I believe that if it's God's will to keep me here, I will stay. And if it is his will for me to leave, I will leave, and I will do so graciously.
But Santos tells Fox ahead of a vote this hour it would set a bad precedent. All five others expelled from the House in the past were either Confederates or convicts. New York Republican has been indicted of campaign finance fraud for lying about his past, and Democratic Congressman Dan Goldman says Santos has got to go.
George Santos's lies were designed to defraud and deceive the voters in order for him to be elected.
The war is back on in Gaza after a week-long ceasefire, as Israel says Hamas is still holding 137 people hostage, and it has evidence Hamas murdered three Israeli hostages. And government spokesman Alon Levy says the children Hamas set free had been drugged and branded in captivity.
Hamas treated our people worse than animals, and we will put Hamas down.
Montana's TikTok ban, it was set to go into effect next year, has been blocked by a federal judge who has ruled it infringes on users' rights.
Republicans, Democrats, and other Western governments have questioned China-controlled TikTok's content moderation, data security, and past spying, as more than half of U.S. states and the federal government have also banned TikTok and official devices.
That's Jeff Manasso. America's listening to Fox News.
Between global jihad, China, Russia, and our southern border, we are in for a long and protracted battle. You need to prepare for the worst. Protect your home, protect your family, and protect your investments. It's time to reach out to the Oxford Gold Group. They make it simple for whether you are buying more gold, diversifying your 401k, or buying gold for the first time. Call 833-995-GOLD or visit jessekellygold.com. That's jessekellygold.com.
Paid actor portrayal.
Life can be so unpredictable. After losing my dad, it made me think about my family if something were to happen to me. I had heard about life insurance through Ethos and how easy it was to get coverage. They were right. In 10 minutes, I was covered. And boom, family protected.
Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Let's do it.
Hey, everybody, this is Money Talk. We got a little bit of funk going on right now. Happy Friday.
You notice that.
This is Tom Rush and George Davis with Yuma Investment Group. Good morning, George.
Morning, Tom. Hey, we can, that song, you can have Santa dancing to that song.
That's wild thing, man.
Yeah.
You know how certain songs stay with you at a certain point in your life? So that song reminds me of spring break down in Daytona, freshman year in college.
Oh, it does?
Because I played that song every, like, five songs that would be on.
Yeah, that's quite a while to stick with.
That's what I think about when I hear that song.
That's awesome. Well, happy Friday out there, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU, December 1st. Right. I did a little bit of Christmas shopping over.
And there's no rush, man. You got, like, 20-some days.
You know, I haven't done the Black Friday for a while, and it's all... I got on Walmart, and two or three days before, they have all these specials.
So you got online, not physically.
Online at the Walmart, on my Walmart app. Yeah. So I ordered what I wanted. Didn't have to go in there at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
I pull up just lazily in my car at 9 a.m., and they just walk it out to me.
Hey, it sounds to me, though, that you should shop physically so you can walk around the store, get a little exercise. might help you out a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if I saw that one coming or not. No, but I hadn't been doing that. I hadn't done the Black Friday thing for a while. It's all pretty much just order online, and they bring it up to
you
park.
October to Black Friday, like that 2 days before Black Friday.
Yeah.
The numbers were actually were weaker for Christmas sales. And the question was, this could be a tough Christmas because people aren't buying. But then within that 3-4 day period, the numbers just shot off the chart on the online buying.
Oh, it did.
And now the numbers are strong.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it went from 3 days, it went black. From yeah. questionable to people are buying. So,
yeah. This is why they call it Black Friday. So.
Hey, so one of the things coming up at the end of the year is forecasting, right? And anybody who forecasts definitely has to throw the disclaimer that no one knows what's going on,
yeah.
nor can they say they know. But I read different things, and one of the things I read is called the Kiplinger newsletter.
I haven't read that in years. I like that, though.
And they've been around, and they're pretty, you know, pretty stable company, and they don't get too high or too low. But this is their forecast. So they think the GDP for this year, the average was 2.4% for 23.
Okay.
Now anything above 2% is considered a strong economy. I mean, you know, is a good number.
So this is 23, or this is 23 their projection? Okay.
Yeah, and they're projecting the fourth quarter of 23, which isn't out yet.
Yeah.
But they basically think it's going to average about 2.4%.
Which,
now, keep in mind, first quarter was 0.9, mm-hmm. second quarter was 2.1, third quarter was 4.9.
Yeah, almost five.
Yeah, so this third quarter, you know, is going to be somewhere in there. But that's their projection. So for 2024, they have the GDP number coming in at 1.6%.
Which is below 2.
Which is below the safe number of 2%.
That's interesting.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about why they could be right on this. But let me finish out this. So they basically think that the Fed's not going to raise rates. That's kind of dead. And they think that the...
they think it's not going to raise rates?
Yeah, the Fed's raising rates now. The probability is like less than 1%. And I'm talking the next 12 months.
Okay. The next 12 months?
Yeah, not lifetime.
They think we're done with the inflation and everything's fine, yeah. everything's good?
Yeah, they think the second half of the year, there's talk of decreasing rates one or two times. So
I wouldn't say everything's fine and done. They just think, Russ, that they've raised rates enough that it's going to be kind of taken over. You know, the economy's going to be a little bit better improved.
Yeah, I'm not saying the economy's fine, down. But I think if they're going to cut rates the second half of 24, they're doing it because the economy's getting weaker.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not saying things are... And if the GDP number is at 1.6 for 24, I mean, that number's down too.
Well, that rate cut talk, Tom, comes up so quick. There was a couple of weeks before there was not going to be a rate cut. Now, all of a sudden, good GDP, good inflation numbers, and now we're cutting the second half of the year.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of speculation out there.
Like a month before, they said the chance of a rate increase is less than 1%. About a month before that, the chances were like a 75% we're going to have an increase. So it just shows the numbers change very quickly based on the data that comes out. So they see inflation going down next year. They're saying it could drop by 1% is what they're saying. Unemployment, they say it's going to – right now it's about 3.8%. They think it's going to peak at 4.2%. So unemployment could be higher in 24, which isn't a good thing, right? That's jobs.
Yeah. Yes. Not good.
They think crude oil is going to stay pretty high, you know, $70 to $75. And they think capital equipment spending is going to go down by 2%. So what this kind of tells me, and Kiplinger has an article about this, is Americans that are employed by small business.
Correct.
Small business is anything under like 100 employees. So basically, how's the small business owner holding up is really the tell of, you know, how the economy is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening is, as you know, these small business owners are getting beat up by interest rates going up. So the small business has when they borrow money from a bank, the average right now is 9.1%. Now, a year ago or a year and a half ago, their borrowing was about 5.5% from the bank, which basically means you're paying
almost double, yeah.
In interest, yeah.
Wow.
So what they think they're going to have to do is cut back spending, whether it's hiring new employees or investing in new capital, because, you know, that money's going to be allocated to interest expense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing about a small business is, you know, if you go deal through a bank, that's fine. But a lot of small businesses either use credit cards. I mean, that's how they finance their business. Or they do some type of personal loan, which those rates are, you know, a lot higher than bank rates. So the small business owner is basically getting kind of squeezed.
Well, one thing, Tom, that is interesting in the housing market, I mean, it's come down a little bit, but the reason it's holding up is that you have that long 30-year or 15-year fixed loan. So you have a low rate, you can sit on that and not worry about the rate going up. But correct me if I'm wrong, in the small business, your loans are much shorter duration. So when those start coming due, you have no choice. That loan comes due, and now you have to renew one at this higher interest rate is what I was reading about. So that's some of the pressure with the small business owner, too.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the business loans, you know, renew every year.
Okay.
So you can reset a rate every year.
Even every 3 to 5, yeah.
And even if you own commercial property, if you're a small business owner, they reset every, you know, 5 to 10 years. So, you know, the 5 years, you know, that could be reset too. But basically what they're also saying is that credit's getting a lot tighter for small businesses. They're basically saying 13% of small business loan applications to large banks are getting approved these days, 13%. Which that's half the value of what it was in 2019.
13% of small business owners that put in for a loan get approved?
So that's saying if 10 people put in for a loan, 1.3 would get the loan. Now, for whatever reason, maybe the business owner turned it down because the rate was high. But the point is that credit's getting tighter.
So when you're talking credit tighter and credit looser, you're talking about the ability to get a loan. So credit tighter is it's tougher to get one. Because you hear that term a lot.
Yeah.
Make sure everybody understands what that means.
Yeah. And sometimes, well, with any loan you get, if interest rates are a lot higher, it's tougher to get the loan. Because it's all based on formulas, based on, you know, income.
Because you're spending more with the interest, I see.
Yeah, the interest is taking
causing
things
your,
away.
Your payment to go back, your premium.
Yep. So basically, from where it was in 2019, these small businesses' loans are getting cut in half. So that's not a good sign for small business.
No, it's not.
So that'd be interesting to see how the small business affects 24 and maybe 25. So
that's one of their arguments on the 1.8 or 1. Whatever they came out with as a projection for GDP.
Yep.
Okay.
And they're already seeing fewer hirees for small business, not buying new equipment or, you know, making the equipment last longer, and even moving up to bigger space rent. So the small business seems to be retracting a little bit on kind of a lot of fronts.
Yeah.
So, but again, small business hires, you know, 80% of all the employees out there.
And it accounts for 70-something percent of GDP for the economy, too. People forget that too.
That 70% is the American consumer.
Oh, that's
so
right.
That's different,
yeah.
So, but anyways, be interesting to see how things hold up. And, you know, I'm a small business owner, and I know Russ is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the banks every year say, send us your financials. And then you do that. Then they come back and say, well, rates have gone up, and, you know, here's what you need to do, or, you know, new rates.
You have properties and stuff. I was going to say, your business itself is not a big investment in inventories. You don't have to do all that. You're a service oriented.
We have lines of credit just to keep things.
But I mean, you got other things going on than just your financial business too.
Yeah,
that's going to be more heavy.
Yeah, but I'm just, you know, if you're a small business trying to get a loan from a bank, but you know, banks won't touch you with a 10-foot pole unless you have at least 2 years of track record. And that's, you know, everyone comes to me and like, hey, I'm starting a business. Like, how do I get a loan? I mean, they ask me, and I'm like, you know what?
Forget it.
You pretty much can until you have a track record of 2 years, right? You agree with that?
Oh, I absolutely.
And years is being generous.
But that track record, you know, could be, you know, running a business for someone else even.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you've got experience.
Oh, yeah. Like if you're going to take over a business or take over part of it, they will look at the numbers from the business. But they're
going to want you to have skin in the game. You can't just.
Well, the reason why they do that, too, is most small businesses, I think within 5 years, like 90% of them are no longer around, right? It's a high number.
It's a very high number.
So the banks don't want to mess with that number. I mean, they want to let you swim through the mud for 2 years.
Yeah, maybe a lot of them fail because they can't get credit. I don't know.
Yeah. Nah, believe me. As you know, everyone thinks, you know, small business owners are, it's easy. And
you've been there more than 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're beating the odds already.
Yeah. So we're going on what, I think 23 years? Human Investment Group?
23.
That long?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the collateral most small business owners use if they don't have real estate? What's the bank ask for?
Ask mom for a loan.
Well, if you're getting it through the business, they just want to see your financials through the company. Yeah. So a lot of companies don't, like, you could put collateral up like a land, and they'd probably want it if they thought you were scarier, but they'd usually just look at the numbers from the business and say, this business made a dime the last 5 years, we can loan them X, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But anyways, we'll see how that all pans out. I guess we're going to take our first break here. This is Money Talk, 560 AM.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK09040081, LO number 0915245.
Good morning, Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. George Davis and Tom Rush here, and of course Russ Clark is over there.
Of course I am.
Yeah. You know, there were a couple of shows ago I missed you. You know, you were out doing your...
Oh yeah, I took off because I knew you were coming in.
Yeah, that's...
No, I don't know. I was in DC for...
Figured you were in something for... Yeah.
I was enjoying myself while you were working.
While you're ramping up to run for senator.
No. No.
Trying to get a lobbyist job.
I want to get appointed to a position somewhere. Yeah. I want a bureaucrat.
So here towards the end of the year, Tom, of course, for Social Security, we're going to talk a little bit about Social Security now, jump to it. The COLA, which is cost of living adjustment, for 2024 is out, Russ. Do you know what your raise, if you were doing Social Security, was going to be?
I thought it was like 2.5 or something. Is that right?
3.2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a ballpark.
For 2024.
Yeah, which I'm thinking like, well, they didn't pay attention to how much eggs went up or something.
And tell them the bad news about that.
What's the bad news?
The bad news of the 3.2% COLA coming up?
No, yeah. What's the opposite of that? What's Medicare hitting you with? What's
increase? They had a raise too.
Yeah, so that wipes it out.
It went up like $20 or
it's
something.
It's not as high, but I think Medicare went up like...
Medicare went up 6.4.
Is that all?
So my point is, you get a raise in Social Security for cost of living, and then Medicare goes up, and it's either could be a wash.
It was my supplement that went up too, though, both of them.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's a misconception. I hate to say it, but Look, the 3.2% is based off of a lot higher dollar amount. So someone that's average, the average worker in 2023 made $1,848 a month. So when you're doing 3.2% of $1,800,
they collected $1,840.
$1,848. That $1,848 was their average, which is almost $23,000. So it's jumping from $1,848 to $1,907. So that increases what, $75,
and they only had to pay $6 more.
And if you're doing, if you're talking Medicare, that's 6.4% of $174, which is $9.80.
Of course, everything else, you know, the rent, the
food, your Medicare went up $10, but your Social Security went up $70.
But I don't think the 3% takes care of what's really happening in the marketplace for what it costs you to live.
No, without a doubt, no.
Oh yeah, I would agree with that. But the last 2 years. Remember last year you had an 8.7%.
You still lost ground.
And the year before that you had a 5.9.
You always lose ground. I don't think they go
losing ground.
I don't think they go as much as the inflation.
I keep losing ground. I'm not going to have a place to stand.
Well, if you're counting inflation the proper way, X food and energy, Russ, then you're.
Hey, before we jump into Social Security, because I know there's some topics on that. So we get asked a lot about, they run ads on radio or internet. So you could actually have a retirement account, IRA, even a 401k if you're a small business, pretty much a 401k just for the business owner. But you can put real estate into those accounts. You can put in businesses, like you can own a LLC business. You can do a lot of private investing, which sounds good, and everyone thinks, I just buy real estate and that would be good. But there's a lot of rules and regs when you start doing that. One of the big fears of the IRS is they don't want you to buy a piece of property from your Uncle Vinny for, a dollar, and then 3 years later it's worth $1 million in your Roth IRA, right?
Yeah.
Because there's people that try to figure out how to break the system. So there's a lot of times you have to give appraisals on your property like every other year. And I don't know if you've ever had appraisals, but they're not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also more red tape where you have to pay the custodian more money. Because they have certain things they're supposed to look at. But there was a story that I'll talk about briefly in The Godfather, Sonny Corleone, Sonny, the guy that got shot, the brother, the hostile brother, right?
Yeah.
He was a brother that had a short temper. Well, anyways,
was played by James Caan, right?
Yeah. James Caan, you might know him.
In the movie, yeah.
Well, his estate took a big bullet, and I won't give you the full details, but here's what happened. Is he went with a hedge fund company, and they basically put his IRAs into this product, and it's a big IRA, about $2 million.
Mm.
And this company couldn't come up with, the IRS likes to see what the value's worth at the end of every year, so that way they can get a feel if this thing goes from a dollar to $6, they can at least red flag it and say, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But anyways, this hedge fund company never gave them a statement by the end of the year. So they're automatically out of compliance because that's one of the requisites of the IRS is we want to know the value at the end of every year. UBS was the one that was holding this hedge fund. So UBS is a big company, credible, right? Well, anyways, they weren't getting the information from the hedge company. UBS says, well, we don't want this holding anymore because they kind of probably knew it was not a good holding, and they're not reporting.
For bookkeeping,
So they kicked it out and sent this certificate that this guy had a hedge fund share to him, and he kept it, and it didn't get rolled back over.
It was almost like $2 million plus.
Yeah, so to make a long story short, this guy basically had $2 million taxable to him when it shouldn't have been if it would have stayed in an IRA. But the problem was these products that are non-liquid, private, they can come back and haunt you,
mm-hmm.
and even real estate can haunt you. I mean, in the sense of if you don't jump through the exact hoops of what you're supposed to do to hold real estate in an IRA account,
get some professional help.
Yeah, you really want a custodian that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
But then you also have people that I could do it myself, and they do certain things. And like I had one guy, just an example, wanted to buy gold coins, pulled money out of his IRA account. Bought gold coins, put the gold coins in a safe deposit box, and about 6-7 years later, the IRS realized he pulled money out and he didn't pay tax, And he said, well, I got the coins, but again, he didn't do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So that You know, the coins have to be held by a custodian that is recognized by the IRS. And putting them in your personal, you know, safe account or whatever is not. So watch out, you know.
And one of the biggest mistakes he made, Tom, was that 60-day rollover rule. You know, he went longer than the 60 days taking money out of your IRA. You have 60 days to put it back in. And he went beyond that. So he tried to do what's called a private letter ruling.
Yeah.
And you turn that into the court. That's going to be that I didn't do it in 60 days and try to get, you know, approval from them to be able to.
I'm sure this guy had Hollywood advisors that are top dollar. The other thing that they messed up on is when you pull money out, you have 60 days to roll it back into a retirement account. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, then it's penalized. But they only let you do one rollover every 12 months. Well, this company sent him three wires on the money over like a month and a half period. So technically, this guy had three rollovers. You can't do that either.
Oh, three. Okay.
So I don't know who this guy's advisor was out of probably Hollywood, but
was he listening to his advisor?
I think we could have done a better job or, you know, local. But, I mean, they just messed this thing up 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, be careful of those private deals where they want you to buy land or something in a retirement account because the rules get a lot more stringent. And it gets a lot more costly, too. Oh.
This was the estate of James Caan. He played that part for Sonny Corleone.
Yeah.
But,
so
even after he passed away, they were still trying to get it, you know, waived.
Yeah.
Taken care of. And so they, of course, like, no, it's not going to
happen. They broke too many rules. So.
Yeah. So, that's interesting.
So on Social Security... you know, I know we're going to do a series of seminars next year around Yuma. Mm-hmm. So hopefully listeners can get the advertising on where to go, which we don't have the dates yet. But on Social Security, a lot of people don't understand the full capacity of it, and they make sudden decisions. And the biggest sudden decision we see people make is the money's not going to be there, so I'm taking it when I'm 62.
I've heard that a lot. I've been hearing that for years.
Hey, let's talk about that in the next section, Tom. I know you want to do a shout-out for Yuma Catholic for something here before this next break.
Okay. George is our board man now, okay?
Is he?
Hey, so today Yuma Catholic has their state championship football game up in the Tempe Stadium, ASU Stadium, at 4 o'clock. So hopefully everybody can think some positive thoughts and they can bring home a state championship.
Oh, state
football.
Championship.
Yep.
Okay.
Now playing the team out of Tucson, it's CDO, I think. I don't know what it stands for, but they've been around. It's a much bigger school.
Is it?
Like Yuma Catholic, I think, has 420 people or something.
Uh-huh.
And they have, I think, upwards of like close to under 2,000.
Wow.
So it's definitely, you know.
When's the last time they were in the championship game? It seems like they're in every few years. But
I went to all of them so far. I think I went to all of them.
Are you heading up to this one?
Yeah, I'm going up to this one, too.
Of course he is.
My nephew's the stud linebacker and fullback. Shout out for Rocky Starworth.
Rocky, huh?
Yeah. So coach
plays both sides, offense and
son.
Defense.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. So... anyways, we're going to take a break here. We'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Someone told me long ago, there's a calm before the storm.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK09040081, LO number 0915245.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. We got Tom Rush here, George Davis, Yuma Investment Group. We're talking about whatever we won't feel like talking
whatever
about.
Whatever we want, huh? Hey, but, do you do Christmas lights?
Yes, I do.
You do? You put them up? Are they up yet?
I don't put them up. I lay them in my driveway.
Oh.
It's a little easier. Plus, with the way my house is built, it would be such a pain to put them on the house.
Yeah.
So I got like a horseshoe driveway that I... You know, put them around. But yeah. I don't have them up yet. I got to do it this weekend.
Yeah, I got to do it this weekend, too. Well, I have that flat roof now, so I don't know how you even – I wouldn't even try to do that.
What you need to do is hang the hooks and just keep them up there permanently. So you just undo the lights. So every year you just hang them back on the hooks. I see people do that.
Yeah.
Just do small hooks so you don't have to freaking – no.
Look at me. You think I'm going to be real good on an extension ladder? Going to every single hook.
You know, in Phoenix, those companies that will come in and decorate your house, like my sister-in-law and brother-in-law do that.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's one around Yuma.
There is.
Oh, there is.
Uh-huh. I've seen a couple of my neighbors have people pull up and a bunch of people get out and decorate for them.
Find out who they are. You should use them.
I should.
George.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hospital bill would be a lot more expensive than you.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do like you and just keep it on the ground.
Just like walk around your yard and kind of like make it look like a little
just put down
light.
Some, yeah. That's awesome.
Hey, so Social Security, so this came out. You can take it at a 62. They give you a 25% reduction from full retirement age. So full retirement age is now 66 to 67, depending on when you were born.
Mm-hmm. Well, mine's 66 and a half.
Okay, yeah.
66 and 6 months for Russ.
Yeah. But so you're losing 25% by taking it early from full retirement age. And then from full retirement age, age 70, they penalize you 8% per year.
Not penalize, give you an increase.
They give you an increase.
They give you an increase, yeah. Yeah. Well, you don't get the money. You can make 8% for every year you wait to age 70. Mm. So if you do the math, 25, 67 is 8 times 4 is 30. So 25 plus 30 is about a 50%. And then if you consider the COLAs in there, there's almost a 70% difference in income between taking it from 62 to age 70. 70% different. You didn't know that, did you?
I didn't.
When I read that, because we actually have a Social Security newsletter that we subscribe to, and they said that number, and I was like, God, it's a huge number.
What was it, 70?
70% difference from 62 to 70,
mm-hmm.
including the 25% you don't get.
Is that much?
Yeah, with the COLAs.
Okay.
Yeah. So it behooves you to wait. Well, here's the main reason why you want to wait. If you take Social Security at 62 and make more than, like, I think it's $19,800, then they take half of the Social Security check.
Ouch.
So if you're still working, it's not a great idea to take it.
But I'm still working right now. I'm 66 and a half. I'm still working.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying if I collect it now, they would still take half or not?
Well, what? Yeah, if you don't hit your full retirement age.
Well, I am. That'll be full retirement.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then you don't get penalized.
66. I am fully retired. I should be.
Yeah, so you are already past 66 in 6 months? Yeah.
Well, I will be in 2 months.
In 2 months.
In 2 months, I could collect it.
So they'd penalize you for 2 months if you took it.
But no, I would wait the 2 months and just collect the full.
Yeah.
Because we
but had, if I collect the full, I can make whatever I want to make.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah. Income-wise, you can make as much as you want, and you'd get the full amount. Now, 85% of Social Security is taxable, so so factor that.
I mean, we'd have to pay taxes, but that's just life. That's
well, it depends. It's 0, 50, or 85. In the rest of shape, and making big money like you do, you'll
I don't
85%.
Make big money.
Maybe you're only going to be half taxed.
Minimum wage, man.
Okay, well, or zero.
Yeah.
There is actually, Russ, did you know that if you don't make much money, you can have zero of your Social Security taxed?
I didn't know.
Yeah, I think it's single. If you make like less than, I think it's $25,000. It's pretty minimal, but
well, my
stay under that.
My Social Security is going to be more than $25,000.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm already in trouble.
Yeah.
No, but you don't count that full thing. You have to come see us, Russ. So.
Okay. My Social Security would be $38,400 a year.
$38,400 a year.
If I collect.
If you collect.
Yeah.
Divided by 12.
Well, that's $3,200 a month.
Yeah, but the income tax includes Social Security, so he would never qualify under that.
But if I wait, I would make I'm right at $50,000 a year if I wait till I'm 70.
So 38 to 50?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good chunk, right?
Yeah.
$12,000 a year. Hey, that's not too shabby, Russ, because if you made enough money to put full Social Security in every year for 35 years. The max you can get in 24 is $3,822 a month.
Yeah, I'm shy of that, though. I only get $3,200.
Well, that means, though.
Wait, that means, I should have worked harder. Yeah.
I should have asked for more raises.
Darn it. But I know a lot of people are making like $1,000 on Social Security or $500. I mean, they just... You know, some didn't work, or some, were running a small business.
Spousal business.
Whatever.
So here's kind of the three reasons to take it at 62, and this could be more than three, but here's the three in my mind. So one of them is if you actually need the money to eat,
you're
dead broke.
That's a good reason.
And you need the money. I mean, it's hard to say don't take it if you become homeless, right? The other reason is if you continue to work and make more than $19,000, say $20,000 a year, they're going to take half of it anyways, so it's very discouraging to take it early if you're working. Mm-hmm. The other reason to take it early is if you have health problems. So if you're kind of borderline, the next 5 years, you might just hit the floor and it's over with. Then you might justify taking it early for that reason.
Might as well.
Yeah.
When the doc says, go get your affairs in order.
go to the Social Security office.
You're done. Get your affairs in order. Yeah, but go ahead and collect.
Yeah.
Is that it?
But those are the reasons taking it early, that I see. How about you, George? You see any? I miss any of those?
No, that's good. I mean, the health thing would be pretty obvious. There used to be that file and suspend, but they got rid of that when, someone would have it early and when you're married, there's ways to look at it. Maybe someone would take it at 62, and maybe someone would wait till 70.
So he's talking about, if there's an age difference with you and your spouse, and the older spouse wants to take Social Security, and the younger spouse has minimal into the system,
mm-hmm.
say they stay-at-home mom or something, then it might behoove you to do it because they can draw about half of what the senior person's taking.
Correct.
So that's a play. I see your play. It's more complicated, but...
Yeah, that one's more complicated, but you could take it early. Because the thing you got to remember with Social Security, if with a couple, when someone dies, you get to hop on the higher benefit. You don't have to keep your own. You don't get both. Some people think you get both. One will go away, the smaller one, and you hop on the one that would be higher. So if you waited till 70, that's a strategy, because if you think... the 70 is going to be the highest one, and that's...
Yeah, when we do financial planning, if there's a spouse that has weak Social Security and there's a more domineering income from another spouse, we think about the idea of going for the full age of 70, because if something happens to that person, the wife or the spouse could come in and basically take that bigger check amount.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that's the difference for you from $38,000 to $52,000, Russ. So that's a $20,000 a year difference. You said from regular retirement was 38 and 52 is the...
Oh, no, it'd be right at 50, just 50.
Okay, 50, yeah. But that's just a good difference, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, difference from...
But now I'm just looking right now. You know, I looked up Rush Limbaugh. He died at 70. So if I fall like Rush Limbaugh, I'll die the day before I get my Social Security.
Yeah. Well, you...
And
you,
some people say that. Well, what if you die, Russ? I say, well, it won't bother me because I won't know.
You know who's going to make out on that whole thing?
The government.
Your ex.
My ex.
Because your ex, if your ex never remarries,
yeah,
she can basically draw on your number. Even if you had three exes.
Well, then I better live.
And they're all, and all three exes were living.
They all three
draw. They can all
the same
three
thing.
Draw on yours.
They don't split it. They draw the same
amount.
Yeah,
they draw the same amount.
Yeah, they all draw
and
the same amount.
When we
but you have to been married 10 years each.
Yeah.
Oh, but, really? 10 years?
Yeah, 10 yeah. years to get the draw. But, you know, we tell some, when we do planning, we ask some of them, have you ever been married for 10 years prior to who you're married to? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, yeah, I got married, like, you know, a long time ago. And we say, well, check what that Social Security number is, because if you're drawing on your deceased husband who you know, you're married to when they'd passed, if this other person really made a lot more money, you can draw on theirs and stop the other
ones. You don't get yours and theirs. You just get theirs and drop yours.
Take the higher amount.
So you're saying if you get remarried, though, that's all void?
Void, yep.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Yep. So it kind of be, that's why some older people you see just never get remarried, but they have couples for, you know, 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Some of it's for the pension and for the Social Security. And
I said, if I get, because if I remarried, then, yeah, that.
Well, so here's a rule on that. If you marry somebody, you have to be married, and you can Google it or you might know the number, but I think it's about 18 months. So what they don't want to do. No, it's eight. It's more than 12. I'm pretty sure. Google it. Hey, but what they don't want to do is you're an old guy. You're on your deathbed, and some young girl, you know, friends of the family. So I'm just going to marry this old guy,
yeah.
And then he's going to die, and I can collect his Social Security.
Can't do it.
So you have to be married for a set period of time, and I believe it's between 12 and 18 months.
Something I did look up.
But let me say this real quick. So if you get married, now your new spouse has access to your numbers, right? If you died. But so does your ex. So both of them that could draw on your the higher amount.
Yeah, if they both have the right amount of time.
Correct, yeah.
I did look up because, you know, if I ever did get remarried to somebody that's a widow or collects a Social Security, she, you know, there was a curiosity of does hers get voided then? Does it stop? Do they stop paying? They don't, though, depending on her age.
Yeah.
From what I remember looking it up.
Yeah, you know, some of that does, if you get remarried, it does cut off, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there, maybe if you were drawing on it originally, then maybe not, but good question.
Well, and I looked it up, and it apparently depends. It depends on the age.
Okay.
If they collect it early for disability or something, you could lose it if you get married.
Okay, yeah, but if you go the full,
But I don't remember what the age was to.
Are you thinking about getting married? Because you're looking all this stuff up. It's pretty anxious.
Oh, of course not.
So here you go, Tom. I found one in the advisor mailbag. So this client, this lady's 62, and she has a small benefit, and she's wondering if she should claim it. But she's also, she was married for 23 years. Now she's divorced, but now she has another man in her life, and she's thinking about getting married.
Sure.
So they want to know what to do. Well, she could take the benefit from spouse number one, which you talked about.
Uh-huh.
If she does remarry, then that goes away.
Yeah, because it's under 62. If it was 67, if she was full retirement age, then
I'm talking about her taking the ex-spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reason why it would go away is she's under the full retirement age, I think.
Yeah,
62 is under 66, 67.
Yes.
But if she's full retirement age, she can marry him and still keep it. Is that right, or do you see that from?
No, I did not see that.
Okay.
So
we'll look that up.
If he passes away and she goes on
the old one, the old
if the old if the old guy, the guy that she used to be married to, the ex passes away, then she can, that doesn't make it so you can't get married. Then she can get married.
And still keep the, and that's the death benefit.
That's right.
Okay.
So that's the death benefit part.
All right.
Which makes sense. So, and yes, it is 12 months here. You need to wait at least 12 months before being entitled to a spousal benefit.
So you only got to be married for a year?
Yeah.
You should have bet me, George.
I should have, Tom.
So just you can still marry your niece.
12 months, 18 months, you said.
You got to keep him alive and, you know, don't unplug him yet.
Yeah. Believe me, that happens.
I know it has.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? It's like,
no.
Don't turn him off yet. How the family's all.
Yeah, because the accountant's standing right there. Don't turn him off.
We'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK09040081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk here. Another great Friday here in Yuma. This is a hot November, right? Temperature hasn't really gone down much in the mornings.
Lately it has.
I mean, usually we get down to like, you know, between 35 and 40 degrees. We haven't seen that the whole...
Oh, no, we haven't been that cold
yet. Yeah, we haven't been that cold. This is a very hot winter so far.
I don't know. If you ask my wife, it's cold, so...
George doesn't leave his house until about 10 in the morning when the sun's out.
Yeah, I had to. That was tough getting out of bed this morning, Tom, to come to the radio show.
So, was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to put a request for, what was that, working radio from home.
Oh.
You could do that.
You could, but it wouldn't be as fun. So this is Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Great show today, and this is towards the end of the year, Tom, so let's give some suggestions for people retiring and getting them to
I've got a
financial
quick,
plan and
quick
401k, you name it.
But before you do that, the Civil War, you know, that was one of the ones they started paying pensions and all that kind of stuff. At what year did the last person collecting a pension from the Civil War die?
Okay, wait.
Civil War ended in 1865.
But what type of pension? You're talking about Social Security?
Civil War pension.
No, Civil War pension.
Yeah. Oh, Civil
from
War
American,
pension.
From the American...
I would guess like in the early 80s.
3 years ago.
Oh, man.
No.
How old?
The very last person?
Well, that person never saw the Civil War. But what happened was one of the guys that was very old, I think it was like 90 or something, before he died, he married a very young girl to pass that pension on.
Oh, yeah.
And she kept that pension. She was born in 1930, so she well after the Civil War. And she married a Civil War veteran.
Dang.
And she just died in 2020, collected that Civil War pension all the way up.
Smart lady.
Pension all the way up to the end.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So what do you do for a living? Oh, I collect Civil War pensions.
But you know what would be interesting? I don't know about that, but... Think they had an inflation index and all that? Because if they didn't, it'd be terrible. Like probably $10 a month, and that.
Well, if it was not inflation, yeah, it'd be about two bits.
Yeah, yeah. So it'd be interesting.
I don't know what it was.
Spent much time on looking at that.
Irene Tiplett.
I got one for you, Russ.
Yeah,
I got a friend of mine that works for the railroad. You know, because it's union.
Yeah.
and their pension, which is they closed this loophole, but it used to be that if you were working, if you were on the pension and you married somebody, then they could get half of your pension. The spouse.
Like in divorce or just half? Oh, okay.
They get half when you take your pension.
So your pension goes up by 50%.
Yes. So what do you think they were doing? They were marrying other employees of the railroad. So then
splitting the money, kind of?
Yeah. So they would get, they would both go up by 50%.
But that must have been a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Well, not as long as you think, but that's how that pension worked back in the day.
Well, yeah. Why would you not?
All right.
just marry of convenience. You know?
Yeah. Marry the person. Yeah. Marry someone that works for him. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, thing about money is they say money's like water. It flows where it's most efficient. So if there's a way to become more efficient
or
with the money,
level of least resistance,
people will figure out how to work it.
Yeah, they will. But no, in all seriousness, the Social Security does have, everyone thinks that Social Security is pretty simple, straightforward, but there's some strategies that you can incorporate. And in our financial planning and our evaluation with our clients, we do work on that. So if you want some help with Social Security or you're making decisions like Russ here coming up, then you can always contact Human Investment
Group.
I'm very happy to help you out.
Very, very old.
Yeah, we use MoneyGuide Pro, which is a financial planning tool, and they have a Social Security analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing about Social Security, too. If you just look at the numbers from, say, a spouse, you really can't make the best decision because it's the variables on the outside of Social Security. So it depends on where people have their money, what kind of retirement plans. So you really, when you look at Social Security, it should be a 360 on all your assets because that will help you make a better decision than just looking at the Social Security numbers by themselves.
Yeah,
that makes sense?
Makes total sense. The one thing a lot of people don't think about is, in this article, I like it, they call it Aunt Irma, which is the income-related monthly adjusted amount, which if you make too much money, your Medicare is going to start jumping up. And some people, I think the average is, what, 164 a month? It can go up to 800, which is a, what, 300-400% increase. It's a big number.
I think the max, if you're in a high tax bracket, and I think it's like 400 or plus, then it's like close to 500, but it's per person, right?
Husband, wife. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you're looking
at the difference between, you know, someone paying 150, 180 in a lower bracket, they stick it to the guy making more or girl.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah. So you can do some strategies to lower that income on the, to get your Medicare, that Medicare cost down.
Yeah.
Some different strategies. So.
So end of the year stuff.
Yep.
People listening. So the first one is if you are a business owner and you have made some money where it's just going to the bank and you're paying tax on it, you can still set up a retirement plan for the business. There's about 8 different retirement plans out there. We won't go into the details of them all. But you got 401k, profit sharing,
cash balance.
So anyways, it's not too late to look at that to get things in place.
Yeah.
For
2023.
Yeah.
That's by the end of this month, January 1.
But you definitely don't want to wait till December 30th because to do the calculations and figure out what plan's best for you, probably is like a 10-day process, 10 business days, so 2 weeks.
Well, just getting the account
open. So you got to move here pretty quick here with December 1st happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's no obligation if you, hypothetically called our office and you want to do like a 360 on how a retirement plan would affect you, we can do that. You can take the data and do nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, it's not going to, we don't charge for that.
Yeah, there's still some really good tax credits out there for first-time 401ks as well, too.
Oh, yeah. So a lot of the costs, you know, some people don't like 401ks because of cost, but there's some actually tax credits that will cover it for the next couple of years. So that would save someone probably a couple $1,000s, too.
Including some contributions, too. It's pretty interesting. So if you're in a 401k, Tom, 401k through your company, and there's a match, most of them will have a match, whether that's 3 or 4%. Make sure by year end, because that's when the 401k, you can't put money in for this year anymore after December 31st. So if you're a little bit low behind on the match, make sure that you're taking advantage of that. Say you're putting in, you know, your match is 4% and you've only put in 3.
Yeah.
then look at that and make sure you take advantage of that last part. You have some extra money, save for this year and try to get close. You know, the more you save, the better you're going to be towards retirement.
Or if you're trying to max out your 401k, because it keeps going up about every other year, the amount.
Yeah, it's 30. This year it's 30,000.
Yeah, so you'd be amazed at how many people when we do the financial planning, we're like, your 401k, yep, I max it out. Then we find out the real number, it's like 15 grand.
Mm-hmm.
That was a max out 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But in their mind, they're maxing it out, you know, because they did that year. So that's another thing to watch out for. Make sure you can.
Yeah, the increases have been pretty substantial, like you said, you know, from anywhere from like 6, 7, 8 grand.
Yeah,
in the last few years.
Yeah, so. And if you're over 50, you get an extra increase. So
yeah, the cost, yeah.
Ask for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what else we got for this year? IRA, Roth IRAs, well, you have up until the tax time.
Here's the biggest thing. Second biggest thing, I think, is do something called harvesting losses.
Yes.
So non-retirement accounts, if you have losses, you can sell them, and that goes against your income. $3,000 a year off your income, it carries forward. What goes after any capital gains going forward, so mm-hmm. you will get it back as long as you're living. But you can sell a position, take a loss, wait 31 days, and then buy it back. So basically, you know, people think about harvesting profits, like, but you can also harvest your losses,
okay,
and then that helps your taxes going forward. And 31 days is not a long time to be out of one position.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that position could go up a lot, and you might kick yourself, but the reality is, you know, you're better off probably keeping Uncle Sam at bay.
What if I don't have 31 days or 30 days left this year? What should I do?
No, you can sell it December 30th, and then it's 31 days. It means you just can't buy it back till, you know, January 30th.
Okay. So I'm selling it, taking the loss this year
is
what's important, and then next year I'm buying it back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if I'm worried about it going up like you were saying...
Well, it's too late. It's December 1st.
Okay, so.
So if you're a little planned ahead, you could have doubled the shares and then just sold half.
And then just sold half, but that won't work now. Yeah. Okay. All right. How about the HSA and IRAs, things like that?
So the deadlines on all those are April 15th, tax filing. Okay. But there are, you know, some things you need to consider. Some people like funding them by, you know, that year, just so it's done. But you can wait on those.
Okay. The other one important this year, Tom, is RMDs. People forget to do a required minimum distribution, and there's a penalty for not doing that. This year it is age 73 now. It changed with the SECURE Act. So if you're looking for, if you're age 73, look into that RMD for the very first time. Or by year end, if you're, you know, want to incline to give to charity, you can do what's called a qualified charitable distribution, so the taxes don't hit you, and all the money goes to your RMD goes to the charity that you choose.
Yeah. So what you're kind of talking about is if you are over the age, and I believe it's 70 and a half still.
And well, it was 70 and a half. You'd already be doing your RMDs. I'm talking about if this is your first year that you turn 73, you're going to have to start your RMD.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to do is give the listeners a little trick.
Okay.
Let's just say you're over 70 and a half and you give your church $5,000 a year.
Yes.
But you stroke a check out, you know, from your bank account, and that's how you give. Stop doing that. Have your $5,000 go from your IRA account.
Mm-hmm.
It's not taxable to the church because they don't pay tax. It's not taxable to you.
Right.
And then you have $5,000 left in your bank. So some people are giving the wrong way. Give with your retirement money.
Mm-hmm.
Once you hit that age, then stroke in a check or cash.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Great show. Hey, last shout out for your team.
Go Shamrocks. Everyone have a great week and be safe.
All right. Money Talk, KBLU.
You know. This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.